You're broken down and tired of living life on the merry-go-round, and you can't find a fighter.
Hello, everyone, and thank you for tuning in to WOLB 1010 AM Talk Radio. This is Carol Maletta of Team Radio Baltimore bringing you another edition of Parenting 411, where we share information parents need from sources they can trust. If you're like many of us, you are on the go nonstop. Between holding things down at home, caring for children or maybe your own parents, staying on top of things at work or in your business, keeping in touch with school and shuttling between extracurricular activities with your children, there is hardly any time to take care of you. I'm talking about getting proper rest, staying fit, and eating right. Those are three cornerstones of a balanced self-care program. Take care of those things, and you will be empowered to lay that fourth cornerstone with the things that really bring you happiness and joy in life. Today, we are going to explore ways that create balanced self-care program for ourselves, and we will also consider how we can pass on a legacy of healthy living to our children. According to surveys conducted by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention for 2015 through 2016, nearly one in five school-aged children and young people, ages 6 through 19, in the United States are obese. Obesity at these early ages sets our children up for risk of serious illness, injury, or disease before they enter early adulthood, thus limiting their ability to pursue their passions and to fully realize their life's potential. Now, we can stop this runaway train by modeling healthy living ourselves and then passing on our best practices and tools for our children to lead healthy lifestyles. So, how do we get started? My guests today are going to tell you how to start taking care of you. First, we will hear from Taryn Mitchell, also known to her clients and many fans as Coach T. She has provided effective weight loss tools to thousands of men and women since 2014. She has designed a system that incorporates practical workout routines along with healthy eating tips. Her goal is to help participants create a fitness lifestyle that is easy to maintain, yet sound and effective. After that, we will hear from Cynthia Anderson, known to her followers and clients as Chef Cynthia. She is a chef, of course, but she is also owner of My Intimate Sentiments, a company specializing in culinary instruction for corporate and community events, as well as personalized classes for small groups and individuals. Her emphasis is on healthy menu options that are easily prepared, and she is able to offer specialized packages to support the unique nutritional needs of her clients. Chef Cynthia spent more than 10 years perfecting her craft, including time spent under the tutelage of Chef Timothy Dean of Williams-Sonoma and L'Académie de Cuisine. Her clientele includes professional athletes, politicians, entertainers, moms, single parents, and senior citizens throughout the DMV. Finally, Chef Cynthia is an ambassador for the American Heart Association, and I'm hoping we can hear a little more about that later in the show. Welcome, ladies. So we're going to start with Coach T in just a moment. And as I shared with you, she's worked with so many men and women, and her journey started on social media, where she talked about her own efforts to get fit and healthy. So I'm looking forward to that. And then also, Chef Cynthia, I'm really excited about what she's going to be talking about, because she does so much wonderful work with clients. And I'm just really eager to hear about that. I don't know about you, but my eating has really been the big hurdle for me, changing my eating habits. I've always enjoyed being active as an athlete and working out, but I tell you, sometimes that making that lifestyle change of eating can really be quite a challenge. So let's see, is Coach T with us?
I am back. I got disconnected in error, but I'm on. Hi.
Hi there. And Cynthia, you're with us too?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me?
I am. I can hear you very well. So we're going to start with Coach T. Coach T, why don't you tell us a little about yourself and what you do as Coach T, the awesome fitness coach?
Oh, absolutely. Great being on the show today. So I am a mother of two handsome little gentlemen, a wife to Mr. Rock Mitchell, and I work a 9-to-5 for a local utility, but then I have a fitness business called Anywhere and Everywhere Fitness, and it is a online fitness business. I particularly focus on women's whole health, dealing with women losing weight, helping our self-image, and learning to eat and incorporate healthy eating and living on a daily basis. Mm-hmm. So I started this program about 4 years ago in 2014, and it was really birthed out of my personal testimony mm-hmm. where I was overweight and I was just tired of being overweight, and I just started making healthier choices and understanding that I didn't have time, but I had to make time to work out. So things like walking the steps and parking further away and being inside the grocery store, not caring who's looking, doing mm-hmm. some squats, just making the time to incorporate healthy living into my daily life. Mm-hmm. And because I documented that on social media and people started inquiring like, hey, how did you do this? How did you lose this weight all naturally, 86 pounds to be exact? Mm-hmm. And that encouraged me to say, you know what, let me step out on faith because I can't be the only one that suffered with, you know, trying to lose weight and not knowing where to start and not knowing what to do. And that's how Anywhere and Everywhere Fitness was birthed.
Wow. Thank you so much. And to our listeners, I encourage you, if you can, while we're talking with Coach T, visit her website, www.coachtaryn.com. That's CoachTaryn.com. And you can follow along with our discussion here. So, Coach T, do you find that you work primarily with certain age groups, or do you have more men than women, or what is it like?
Yeah, so for me, I work with women from the ages of 18 up until my oldest client was 68.
Okay.
So I don't have a particular age group. I kind of focus on those in that age range, 18 to 68. Mm-hmm. I've had a few men to join my challenges, but I primarily focus on women. But we are partnering with Odell Exact, who is a male fitness coach, and he will be focusing on the men.
Okay, that sounds really good. What can your clients expect from you when they sign up for one of your programs?
Absolutely. So if you sign up for my program, I have two sets of programs. One is considered a personal training program. That's more one-on-one coaching, one-on-one training, one-on-one healthy eating tips and food demos. That's more of a program where I walk you through step-by-step a daily accountability. You're sending me pictures of your food. We're walking through your workouts. We're doing in-person workouts, virtual workouts, but it's more one-on-one on a one-on-one basis. The second part of my program is an online fitness challenge, and they typically last for about 30 days, and they range in price from as low as $4.99 up to $19.99. And what that includes is you get access to a membership portal on my website that's password protected that provides you your weekly challenge guide, which includes what meal suggestions you should eat. You get exercise demos. You get virtual workouts. You get put into an accountability group that's private that you can share. It's more of a support group to kind of talk through things and share ideas. And then you get daily emails or texts from me through an email system, just giving you that motivation and that encouragement to push through. Because many times we start something, we have all of this passion and fire, and then as things happen in life, we kind of push it to the back burner. So I just like to give that extra push to say, girl, you can do it. Don't give up. Don't quit. You're worth it. And in most cases, that extra bit of motivation helps that person to make a healthier choice for that day or to go work out when they weren't going to work out. So for that price of $4.99 to $19.99, you get, in my opinion, a lot to help you get to where you want to be. And my average participant loses anywhere from 5 to most I've had someone lose is 60 pounds.
Okay, let me make sure for our listeners and for myself, you said $4.99. Is that $499 or are you talking $4.99 or what's happening?
Absolutely. So it's for the group challenges, it's $4.99 to $19.99.
And that's per month or
per month? Yes.
Wow. You know, you almost had me, but you said something there about showing pictures of our food, and you might not want to see what I eat, but anyway.
No, absolutely. Me seeing what you eat, kind of, especially if you're not local, because a lot of my clientele, honestly, is across the United States. I have very few local clientele. I deal with some clientele from Maryland in the DMV area, but I have a lot of people that live on the West Coast and Midwest. So me getting pictures of your food, I can kind of gauge and say, hey, well, let's try to adjust it this way, or, you know, let's make this adjustment, and, you know, are you, won't you switch this, or, you know, make a change. Okay. And if I can't see your food, I can't really tell if we need to make adjustments to your program.
Okay. So what kinds of interests or concerns do clients come to you with? What prompts them to come see you, Coach T?
Absolutely. So most times it's through my public journey of a lot of women are unhappy or uncomfortable with their weight. And then I have some clients that have health issues like high blood pressure, pre-diabetic, and things of that nature. And what they've learned through my previous participants is a lot of word of mouth. I've had clients that have gotten off of high blood pressure medicine, clients that are no longer pre-diabetic, clients that have lost a significant amount of weight who have learned to incorporate healthy eating into their family, not just themselves, but to their children and their spouses. And that has intrigued interest from other people. So a lot of my clientele, they either hear about my program through one of my previous challenge participants, or they see my personal journey, and that intrigues them to say, hey, if she can do it, or if she can do it, or he can do it, I can do it. I'm missing just the piece and that personal touch from Coach T.
Okay, that sounds great. All right, let's talk with Cynthia now. Thank you for joining me, Chef Cynthia.
Good afternoon. Thanks for having me.
So tell our listeners what My Intimate Sentiments is all about and how you got started.
Oh, sure. Great. So it's been a passion of mine for a very long time. In a prior life, I've always been in corporate America. In a prior life, I developed a software application that was used for No Child Left Behind. That was used across the country. And when President Obama came into office, he actually stopped using No Child Left Behind. They went to Rise to the Top. And the application that I had sold and developed with my team out in Berkeley, California, we decided to go into another direction. And I'm still working with schools and after school accountability, but I took a bit of a hiatus and I really focused on some different things and was trying to have more of a life-work balance, because doing that type of work, I traveled extensively every week. I was gone somewhere. And so I really just wanted to take some time to just reinvent myself. And so that's what I did. So I mentioned it to some friends, and I really just started sharpening my craft. I enrolled in courses. I work with some chefs that are very close personal friends of mine. You know, took this time for about 2 years to really develop my craft and learn and get educated, because education is the key. So from that, I would do different small things for friends, because my friends like to entertain. And so I would bring dishes and things, and they would be like, wow, Cynthia, you should really do this as a business. But that was when I started, it was just really around me just trying to reinvent myself, not really knowing where it was going to go. But I really realized that that it was like my God job. It's because I have a very sensitive touch, nose, feel kind of thing, I can replicate certain dishes. So it became a challenge and it was fun. But my daughter, what really started this path was my daughter. I was mentioning that I traveled extensively. I was in my closet one day putting things away, and she came into my room and said, Ma, can you tie this around me? And I was like, okay, you know, I'm rushing, trying to get things together as we do, right? We multitasking. And so I went to tie what she gave me around her torso, and I went back to what I was doing, and it was a bandana. It clicked, and I was like, did I just tie a bandana around my child's torso? And so that put me on immediate pause. And so that was really like my breaking point, or, you know, starting point to say, like, I've got to do something different. And so I reached out to some of her friends, and come to find out, a lot of her friends weren't eating. And I feel I live in Potomac, Maryland. It is predominantly white. Mm-hmm. However, you know, you don't hear of food disorders or eating disorders in the African American community.
Mm.
At least I hadn't.
Mm-hmm.
I'm speaking for myself.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was the furthest thing from my mind as to that's what was happening with her. But she was not eating. And it wasn't, so she wasn't eating. So what I did was I decided to educate her. And in educating her, I educated myself as well. So she learned early on at the age of 8, how to read the back of a label, how to read packaging.
Mm-hmm.
And so through this journey, this is how this all came together. It was like an interesting time that I was already on this path, and then it appeared in my life. And so I was able to use those practices and to turn them into something that was going to be supportive of my child and eventually other people. And so that's really how Intimate Sentiments got started. And the focus was really around small gatherings. However, that did not happen. It was always 100, 150 people that I was catering for. And I really recently had to just really scale back. I was like, I love doing that, but it was taking away from my, that was not how my business plan went. And I understand that I'm a pleaser. And so whenever somebody had a need, I would jump in, right? Mm-hmm. That's just who I am.
Mm-hmm.
But I really had to stay focused on what it was that I really enjoyed doing.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's kind of how Intimate Sentiments kind of arrived, as doing things for my friends in small batches. But now I have Girls Night In, so I really focus again on smaller, intimate things, and it's been a lot of fun. I'm also an ambassador for American Heart Association.
Okay, tell us
and
about
so
that.
Okay.
So yeah, go ahead and tell us about that.
Oh, so I am an ambassador for American Heart Association. I've been an ambassador for a little bit over 6 years now, and I go out to communities and I teach them how to cook healthy food. I go to elementary schools, and the fun part there is I teach the elementary school students how to read the back of packages so that they can understand about sugars. And I give them different ideas on things that they can go home and cook with their parents.
Mm-hmm.
So I found that getting your children involved in the cooking process makes it a lot easier. We have busy lives.
Mm-hmm.
And as an ambassador, these are some of the things that I go out and I teach communities about preparation. You've got to take time to prepare food for yourself, for your family. And it takes time, but we can make it enjoyable.
Mm-hmm.
And it could be a learning experience, and talking to your kids about the backs of the packages and seeing, you know, how many carbs, and then you can have an opportunity to talk about what is a carbohydrate, what is protein,
mm-hmm.
you know, so you can have that type of education. And I found that some of my parents, they talk about how, you know, it's a task. They give their kids like a list mm-hmm. of different treats that they might want. They have to go out, read the back of it, and find the sweet or the treat that they might want to have that has the lowest amount of sugar. And so they have to go through and find that and bring that back, and they all agree on what their level of sugar intake is.
Mm-hmm.
And so that creates fun. That does take a lot of time, and I know I have two children that have both graduated from college, so I remember those days of you know, trying to come home and whatever was easy was best. I was never really like a fast food person, but I was definitely like off the shelf, but something that was maybe prepackaged, and then, you know, I would add whatever to it. But now I really realize the importance of knowing what you're putting inside of your body. So if you're cooking it, then you know a little bit more about what's in it. So
right. Yeah, absolutely. And studies are showing that the earlier you start to help children understand food, the food groups and things like that, it helps to give them a healthy relationship with food and what it's about for sustenance. And of course, you want to enjoy it as well. But to really understand the role food plays as a fuel to help us physically to go out and do the things that we want to do. And then, of course, there is evidence that it has an impact on academic performance, good nutrition and all of that. So that's great that you do work with children and you're starting early to help them to really learn the basics of food. What would you say is the busiest segment of your business right now? Because I know you do a lot of things. You do education. You also do preparation of meals for groups. Where are you doing the most work right now?
So that's a great question. Right now, I really am doing more speaking. So I am just about finished my credentialing for nutrition and well-being from Cornell University. Okay. I have a few more modules to complete there. But my business has really moved towards platform. So right now, I go to different companies and I do lunch and learn. Inova has hired me to come in to work with some of their community partners that they have, as well as other HealthWorks is another company that has hired me to come in to do these lunch and learns for companies. And what I found, what I enjoy about this, and it's really mainly in Virginia, and I'm like, wow, how can other, you know, like in the DMV area, Maryland and Washington, D.C., do this very same thing? But what they do is they actually bring in people such as myself. They'll bring in people to do your blood pressure, sort of like a mini health fair. Okay. If you will, that lasts maybe about an hour or two. And you have other people that come in, they give you flu shots. Right now, that's what they were doing yesterday. I had one and they were doing flu shots. But it's very informative. And what I teach people during my sessions are how to take dinner and turn it into lunch the next day. So we find creative ways to do that. You know, it's economical and it's time saving. You know, if you're at work and you can bring your lunch into work, you're going to probably be more productive because you don't have to go out, right? So, So you do need to exercise and get out of the office. That's true. But just really trying to save money and be economical. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So, ladies, I want to ask each of you, starting with Coach T, how has your profession and your philosophy about health and fitness shaped your family's habits?
Absolutely. So for me, my fitness journey actually started with my husband. So he started getting fit first as the head of the house, and then he asked me to come to the gym. And in that journey, we brought the kids to the gym. So now the kids are enrolled in gym classes where they're working out. And then at home, we make dinner fun. So we have things just like Chef Cynthia said, make it a learning experience. So they get to wear the chef hats, and they get to put on the aprons, and they get to get involved, and they're experimenting with, you know, seafood and vegetables and making it fun and creative. Mm-hmm. We made them a part of it instead of forcing it on them. When you bring your kids in and put them a part of it, they actually feel like they're part of the culture. And so now they'll begin to experiment and say, oh, that's broccoli. There's no way that's broccoli. I'm used to broccoli tasting like this. This is different. I cooked it. And so involving them in the journey actually helped them to become a part of the culture, so it's not foreign to them. Now, I won't lie to you. My youngest son is still a hard one to convert over. But I would definitely say involve your kids as you're in a part of the journey and start small, making small changes, and they'll come along.
Okay. Okay. And Chef Cynthia, did you have anything to add?
I sure do. For me, it was more personal. I went to the doctor and for my annual checkup, and he pulled out his little white pad, and I'm going, what is that for? Because I'm the ambassador for American Heart Association. Clearly, I don't need a pill. And so he said, well, actually, you do, and your cholesterol is high. And I, you know, went into a little bit of a panic mode because I'm like, how's that possible? But it happens, and it happens to the best of us, and people who are trying to be as conscientious as possible about what they eat and how they eat it and their exercise, because I'm a runner. So this is why I was very confused. So through education and learning, some things are hereditary, but what is could be hereditary, you can also put some gatekeepers on it, right? So it doesn't have to get as bad, and you take one pill and it turns into another. So I asked my doctor to give me 6 months time. We had a target I had to get my BMI down, and I had to really focus on my weight. I found out through working with a nutritionist that I can't do nuts. That's part of my cholesterol issue is nuts. So when I sat down with her, I'm telling her, I don't know how I'm sitting here because I'm doing the right things. I'm doing smoothies and everything. And she was like, well, tell me what you put in a smoothie. And I named, you know, pineapple, apples, peaches, banana, you know, I'm naming all these fruit. And she's like, well, there's all your sugar. And so it becomes funny because it's like someone who sees this all of the time and is around it all of the time, to put it into practice for yourself, that became sort of my story. And I was able to relate with people who were having challenges because it's real. It happened to me. So 6 months later, I lost a total of 22 pounds.
Okay.
Yeah, in six months. I was very focused. I lost the weight and I did not have to have the cholesterol pills. And I've been able to maintain that. It's been about 2 years. So,
okay. Yeah. Congratulations on that.
Thank you.
So I want to remind our listeners, this is Parenting 411. You're tuned in to WOLB 1010 AM. If you would like to call in, you can call at 410-481-1010, 410-481-1010. I'm talking to Coach T, Taryn Mitchell, and Chef Cynthia Anderson. And I want to also point out that if you'd like to check out Chef Cynthia's website while we're talking, it's myintimatesentiments.com. Now, Coach T, what hurdles stand in the way of people embarking on and maintaining a solid fitness plan?
Whew, there's a lot of hurdles that can be there, Carol. So a lot of times it's dealing with not having the time and life challenges coming and knocking you off of your game. And then being consistent. Motivation is not enough for a fitness plan. You have to have discipline. And most of us get stuck in that motivation period, and we never get to the point of where we're disciplined. Okay. So I tell people all the time, motivation is a great start. But in that motivation, create some small goals that you can use daily to help you become disciplined. It's just like, for an example, like, I'm going to be on time for work. Your motivation is, I just got this new job. I don't want to be late. I want to make the boss happy. I'm going to be there. Your discipline comes in to say, you know what, I'm going to be on time for work because I don't want to stay in this same position. I want to move forward in my career. Same thing for a fitness plan. I'm motivated because everyone's working out, or I'm excited. I'm going to lose this weight. And then, boom, child gets sick. Boom, have to stay late at work. All these different things start happening. And what you do is you adjust the plan. Don't stop the plan. Adjust it. If before you could work out at 4 a.m. in the morning, but life happens and you can't, take 5 minutes to take that walk on your lunch break. Take, you know, that extra 2 minutes you had and do some crunches. So just being able to adjust your plan so you don't lose the consistency. So I would say be agile when you have a fitness plan. Don't be super hard on yourself, but be agile, be committed, and be consistent.
Wow, that's very helpful, because I can certainly say that sometimes I would get on a roll of working out a few weeks, and then, as you said, something might have come up with one of my children, or I caught a cold. Well, I can't work out.
Absolutely. And we all get there. And it's just about being agile. Just like we're agile with our jobs, if we can't come in, we might work remotely, or, you know, technology has allowed all these different things. There are workout videos at home that you can play on YouTube and, you know, and on your DVRs. So just being able to be agile so that you keep that consistency, it's very important.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, the thing about it, we shortchange ourselves before we shortchange other people. Like, we'll struggle through the cold or whatever else when it's when someone else is on the other end, like our jobs or someone else just that's counting on you for something. But when it's just ourselves, because fitness is something, a gift we really are giving to ourselves, we're quick to shortchange ourselves sometimes. So
yeah, I definitely agree with that, Carol. That's a big piece of it. Mm-hmm. Is most times, and not just for women, but in general, women, we give so much to others. Mm-hmm. We always put ourselves last. And then we find ourselves in a place where we have nothing left to give. Mm-hmm. Or we're missing that piece that if we would have worked out or if we would have taken more time for ourselves, things would be different or we would have more to give if we invested that same amount of energy into ourselves. So I definitely agree with you.
Yes. So while we're talking about some getting started and moving beyond the motivation, Chef Cynthia, what would you say are some easy first steps people can take to start eating right?
So, great question. I kind of take the approach of what's eating right, right? So you have to understand what's eating right for you. What are some of your goals? You just want to, you know, make sure that you're not eating out as much. Excuse me. Are your, you know, what's your goal? Is your goal to lose weight? Is your goal to just be mindful of, you know, maybe you're starting to take out carbs in your diet?
Mm-hmm.
I always suggest to people to really see a nutritionist. Make sure that you go to your doctor, especially if you want to lose weight. I have had people, they come to me with their plan from their nutritionist, and I help them. I teach them. Like, I have a couple of congressmen, one in particular, Congressman Andre Carson. He said I could use his name. I don't typically tell, mm-hmm. you know, discuss my clients. But, you know, and he worked with, I work with the White House chef, and we were able to come up with a plan for him. And I really showed him how to cook things at home, because a lot of times he has a lot of things that he needs to be out and doing and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and it becomes difficult because he has a lot of events. So some of the things that I teach my clients to do is, especially people who are very active and have multiple events to go to. And a lot of times when you're in a big room, you know, all the hors d'oeuvres and things that get passed, you know, they're really fillers, right? They're really to help you absorb whatever libation you are partaking at that particular time.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what it's geared for. It's geared for mass, and it's massive people, a lot of people, and it's also just geared for a filler.
Mm.
I tell people to make sure that you eat before you go out.
Mm-hmm.
That way you're full. And when you go out, you can socialize, but you don't have, but food is not your key. It's not, you know, something that you need. If you're going to nibble on something, everybody's going to have some vegetables. Mm-hmm. So you do that. Just don't, you know, dab a whole heap of the ranch dressing that comes along with it. You know, be mindful of that. But, you know, you want to do those things. And I'm speaking from experience. A lot of times I have a lot of events that I go to, and sometimes I just have to eat something before I go, because I already know what's going to be passed is going to be things that I don't eat. So I have to be very mindful of that. And that's some of the things that I kind of just teach people to do. And preparation.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I'm working on my book. It's called The Art of Cooking for One. And what I found when I do go out and I talk and I go to people's homes, a lot of single people mm-hmm. really feel that cooking causes depression for them.
Hmm.
And I dug a little bit deeper into that because I wanted to understand why. And I had to have some relatable moments because I love to cook. And, you know, if I'm just cooking for myself, sometimes I tend not to, because it's like, wow, I'm going to fix all this food and it's just going to be for me. But what I learned is that, you know, hey, how about if I do this, and that's fine, but I'll invite somebody over, or I'll take what I want, and then I'll take what's left over to someone else and be a blessing to someone else.
Mm-hmm.
So I really tried to explain that to people, you know, just to try to get them to think differently. But I had to put that on pause and say, wow, these are really things that people are experiencing, because I heard it on more than one occasion, which, you know, sparked my whole The Art of Cooking for One. And what it really is about is a journal.
Mm-hmm.
So you can start talking about what you're doing, how you're feeding yourself, and taking care of yourself while you're journaling about it, to empower you to really think differently about it. And I put tools and things like that in the book. Meal prep is definitely one of the things, you know, to help people on their journey.
Okay. Now, Coach T, and actually this question will be for both of you, but I'm wondering how or if you incorporate electronic devices into the strategies that you give to your clients.
Yeah, so with it being a technological world now, mm-hmm. and people are kind of tied to their phones, I have some clients where I have them to use certain apps. Like there's this app called the Lose It app. Some people may use MyFitnessPal, but I use the Lose It app, and they can track their food if they would like. They can track their workouts in that application. And it's for those who feel that they need to see, who don't want to write down their in their food journal. Mm-hmm. And it helps them kind of know the nutrients they've eaten for today, how many calories, what kind of workouts they've done. And then there's this app called Feel Me, which is a water app, because some people struggle with drinking water mm-hmm. because we kind of wait till we're thirsty and we're not consistently thinking about drinking the water. But if it was a soda or if it was juice, we would just drink it. But water for some people is difficult. Mm-hmm. So that app helps them to set alarms to say, hey, maybe you should drink some water. Mm-hmm. And it just reminds them. So I do incorporate it in that way in my different programs and as an encouragement for those who need it.
Now, that app about drinking water, is that Fill Me, F-I-L-L-M-E?
I will give you the spelling one if you can come back to me. I'm looking it up right now to make sure that's the correct spelling.
Okay, because that sounds pretty cool. I like drinking water and drink it most of the time, like with meals and things like that. But I could probably use a little reminder during the day when I'm working and sitting at my desk for hours. I could definitely use a reminder to get up and get some water and bring it over. So, yeah, I like that. How about you, Coach? Chef Cynthia, how do you incorporate electronic devices into your work with clients?
So the one thing that I do is I don't really have like an app or anything like that. I just really we have like group me sessions, and I have people who I have invited into there, and we just talk about different things there. So mine is more intimate.
Okay.
So I don't really have like a I don't really have anything that I would ask people to join.
Mm-hmm. Now, staying with you, Chef Cynthia, what are some common misconceptions that people have about food, and what are some practices that we do unintentionally that cause us to fall short of our goals?
Sure. So one of the things that I really want to start talking about is, one of the things that I talk when I have my classes is around, just making sure that you know your butcher at your grocery store, mm-hmm. and making sure that you know your seafood person at your grocery store. Reason why is because, people talk about how if you have organic food or meats, and if your meats are organic, seems to be better, which could be true because you're monitoring what they're being fed. That's one thing. But another thing is that for people who, again, my focus is primarily around budget, making sure that people can eat well, but it doesn't have to, drain your pocket.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the things is that, when you know that the fresh food is coming in, then what day to go to the grocery store, how to govern yourself accordingly with that. I'll give you a perfect example. Excuse me, and that's around chicken.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
When you go to the grocery store and you get chicken, I encourage people to take a look at the back of it and see how much sodium is in the meat. And I say that because a lot of times what I teach people is cooking without salt at all, like get rid of it. It's no need for it. We don't need it. But I teach them how to infuse different meats and pasta, whatever your main ingredient is, with dry herbs. And so what happens is that when you go to the grocery store, you take a look at the chicken, just do an example, like, go test yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And you take a look at it. The organic chickens are not going to have as much sodium in them as perhaps the store brand, version. And the reason why is because you have to think about how chicken is preserved. So it's preserved. So a lot of the sodium that goes into the chicken is because it's how the solution or whatever that mm-hmm. they get, handled with to preserve them, because they got to come from the farm to wherever they get processed to the grocery store. That takes time. So a lot of your intake, you will see. So what do people do? They take that chicken that they didn't really pay attention to the amount of sodium that's already in the chicken, and they come home and add more salt to it. Mm-hmm. They add more salt to it. So what are you doing? Now you have really overloaded your system. And so those are some of the things that I try to get people to really take a look at, and it becomes very important, especially when you're trying to take a look at your sodium intake. Those are some of the things that you really have to be mindful of. So less processed meats, so all of these like deli meats and things like that, the less processed meat that you possibly can, because again, they're taking the ends of the meat, and that's how they get it together. Unless you have your own farm and you're making your own sausage and you know what's going into those sausages, I'm very leery of it. So, I'm just speaking from experience and just kind of some things that I know. But we enjoy certain things, and you should, everything in moderation.
Right.
But you do have to understand what it is you're taking into your body. But I really say that it really starts with a visit to your doctor, especially when you're getting older.
Mm-hmm.
Because we start breaking down things differently. I think that, you talk to people, some people say, well, I used to could eat, four cookies a day and nothing happened. Well, your metabolism is starting to slow down the older that you get. But there are some things that, that you can do with your nutritionist to really pay attention to those things. And either it's journaling, either it's an app, that some people might want to use for losing weight. Whatever that is, you want to use that. And I just tell people, use a tool of your choice, because there's so many out here. That's the reason why I don't really, call one or the other one out, because it really depends on what's easier for you.
Mm-hmm.
Some people have these very smartphones and iPhones, iWatches, Fitbit. There's a multiple array of these, tools that you can use to help monitor your exercise, monitor your food intake. And so whatever one works best for you. Some are already auto-filled, where they're easier. Some apps have a little scanner to it. You can scan certain things. So it really depends upon the person.
Okay. Now, Coach T, how much does food factor into what you're doing? How much time do you spend on that with your clients? Because I would think that the working out is probably the bulk of your work with clients.
Actually, it's kind of more food-based, and the working out is an added bonus.
Okay.
And the food-base is more teaching them, like Chef Cynthia said, about eating at home, learning to read the packages, taking more time to understand and digest what you're eating. I'm not being on the go so much, because you can work out every day, all day, 15 times a day, but if you're not eating right in the kitchen, you're not going to see a change. That cholesterol is not going to be where you need it to be. That sugar level, all those things play a big part in of what we eat. So I take a lot of time in the beginning working with the mindset of my challenge participants to help them understand what got them to the place they're in. Then we break down the food and like Chef Cynthia said, defining what's healthy eating, what's healthy for you, what are your goals, what's your focus, what changes do you need to make? Are you someone that eats out 5 times a week? And maybe you can't break that habit right away, but let's go down to 2 times a week. So making those simple adjustments is a big part in what we do for my business and coaching those ladies and the gentlemen, is that you have to start with what's on the plate. Mindset first, then what's on the plate, and then we add in the workouts. And I definitely agree with Chef Cynthia that if you have health conditions, health issues, it is very important that you seek help from a nutritionist.
Okay. And so then with you, Chef Cynthia, do you connect your strategies for healthy eating and cooking with your clients' fitness activities?
Absolutely, and more so now with my certification in nutrition and well-being. So I will be starting to take on clients with that. I have a few right now. And so that is starting to be a little bit more granular. So I am taking a look at what they're eating and their exercise as well. And again, you know, you really, I can't stress enough about understanding your full body makeup, because how I burn calories is going to be different than how your body burns calories. Okay. So you can't say, oh, well, I got on the treadmill, you know, for an hour. Well, you do that. That's great. That's one thing. But then what do you do to fuel your body back up so that you're not hungry throughout the day? And that will encourage you to start snacking. So if you're doing that, you know, I would tell people there's, depending upon their level and their comfortability, you know, there's power shakes and how serious you really want to be. Mm-hmm. So when I really was on my weight loss campaign, I really started doing protein shakes. And protein shakes work for me, but it might not work for you. Mm-hmm. So that's the reason why, you know, I encourage people to really take a look, go to see your nutritionist so that you can understand your plan. Education is the key. If I sit down with you on a weekly basis and I just say, you know, okay, are you doing this, 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 and this? I'm not with you 24/7, so I really don't know, did you do it or not? I can take a look at the end of the day at your scale and see where you're going, you know, how, right. but muscle weighs more than fat. So if you're in the gym and you're working out, you know, your scale, it could tend to go up. But that's because you could be building muscle. And I always tell people to take a look at what your clothes look like. Is your waistline getting slimmer? You know, are you able to get in your shirts better because your arms are starting to slim down? And those are the things that I encourage people to look at. So it's really about taking a look at the whole person and finding out what makes them shrink, I guess, for lack of a better word.
Okay. Yeah. Well, listen, let's give parents of younger children a little perspective in this last segment. So, Coach T, do you ever have the occasion to work with children or teens to teach them about fitness and health?
I haven't as of yet, with the exception of my personal, my two sons. We deal with health and fitness at home, but I am working on a mentorship program to launch to the Baltimore City and Baltimore County schools, where we can incorporate a mentorship program that involves, I'm focusing on, of course, the younger ladies. We're going to figure out something for the younger gentlemen, but to deal with self-image, physical activity, and healthy eating and fitness. And we're going to launch that program because I find that if you start at a younger age with the children, they kind of, it develops to their adulthood, but no one's talking to them. I do see the schools have made some changes with healthier eating options. So it's getting to a place where child obesity was a big issue, and they're starting to attack it in the schools. So I am working on that program to launch out to Baltimore City and Baltimore County. But those with parents who have younger kids, it's important to talk to them about it, to involve them in it, and let them know that it's okay that you don't have cookies today and you have an apple, and explaining and breaking those things down and letting them be a part of the marketing. If you allow your child to market and you explain to them the different things, 9 times out of 10, in most cases, they're going to pick the healthier option if you let them be a part of it.
Yeah, and I like what you talked about in terms of the partnership with schools, because I think that's really key. I know when I was younger, obviously some things have changed about how they're even handling physical education now. But I was very active. I mean, some of it could have been my personality, but we had a really robust physical education program. We went, you know, in elementary school, we went multiple times a week for that. And just all of the things that our physical education teachers shared with us with back then was just so helpful. And then that made me, when I came home and the other neighborhood kids, invent our own game. So we were just so very active. And I have no doubt that foundation really carried me well into my adult years in terms of fitness.
Absolutely. Because children nowadays, it's about Fortnite. It's about video games. It's about staying in the house. I've never seen so many children in the house where you're outside looking like, where are the kids playing? And everyone's in the house on a gaming system, on a cell phone. and that plays a part in the child obesity. So it's necessary that we get the kids active, that we get them involved in the kitchen, we get them involved in physical activity and sports and things outside of the home so that they can be healthy and understand what they're putting in their body so they can transition it as they continue to grow.
Right. So, Chef Cynthia, I'm wondering, I think you talked a little bit about your work with children and teens. Can you share a little bit more about that?
Sure. Again, when that, I put my ambassador hat on, mm-hmm. And I go out to different schools, especially in Washington, D.C. And one of the things that that we talk about, and it's a known fact, and people want to debate you on it, mm-hmm. but east of the river in Washington, D.C., Ward 7 and 8, it's a food desert. Right. They don't really have the grocery stores that people have in other neighborhoods. I know that the mayor in D.C. is working very hard to change that. However, when you go to the school, you come home from school, your options are very limited. So the focus there is to, you know, take what you have, take the resources that you have, but then be mindful of what you're taking, what you're intaking. So we go back to the labels. Mm. You got to go back to reading those labels. I mean, you know, if you have an option of, you have a corner store, you don't really have access to grocery stores, oranges could be like $2 or $3 a piece. Mm-hmm. And, you know, as opposed to you'd rather take that to go buy some food with some real food. So those are some choices that people have to make. And we don't really know that because it's not really publicized because that's not sexy. We mm-hmm. don't talk about those things that are just, you know, it's woo, make it go away, put it in the back of the room and, mm-hmm. and put a blanket over top of it, you know. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. But it's real. And every time I go out, I talk to people about it because we should be in uproar about it. We should be trying to do something different. So right. Those are the things that I do is just I try to make sure that people understand that we do what you do is try to make it as much as a family event as possible. Mm-hmm. And to you know, everyone else's point, kids are now, they're on their computer, they're on different things, but if you turn it into, you know, try to turn it into as much fun as possible, and then also think about, you know, longevity. You know, we want to mm-hmm. be around for our kids and our grandkids, so yes. What are you going to do about that? You have to hold yourself accountable. Okay. And starting with your children, because they'll be the ones to take care of us, so you got to make sure that they're healthy as well.
Okay, and so ladies, what I want both of you to do is think about upcoming events or things that you have coming up that you want to tell our listeners about, and while I share some summary tips for the families. So in terms of healthy eating tips for families, and we've touched on some of these, but I want to share, making breakfast a habit. A lot of times we don't make time for breakfast. Either we think that it needs to be really complicated and therefore I don't have time, or some people simply think it's not important, but it really can provide fuel for your day. And it's a lot simpler than you think to really make sure you get the important nutritional, you touch on the important nutritional groups for breakfast. For parents, certainly lead by example. For example, with breakfast, your children should see you eating something for breakfast. And just leading by example in general, they should see you making the effort to be mindful of what you're putting in your mouth. And meal prep, which Chef Cynthia talked about, it can seem time-consuming, but perhaps you could do it on Sunday evening or one night per week, but kind of do some cooking and then put it into separate containers so it's already prepared. Like, for example, if your children get home from school earlier than you get home from work, they have something ready to eat, and you know that it's going to be healthy. And what both Coach T as well as Chef Cynthia talked about is to educate our kids early on about what's healthy and what's not. And I've also seen a suggestion to make the plate colorful, because children eat with their eyes. So the different colors of the vegetables and things like that can really stimulate them as well, and help them to realize that eating healthy can be fun and at the same time do good for their bodies. And regarding fitness, we really want to establish manageable goals for our lives daily. And that's something that I know Coach T talks about, to make it easy but effective. So make an effort to move every day. and then start to, you know, make 1 to 2 minor nutritional changes every day in your life. It's adding more water or something like that, or cutting back on the soda or the juice. But you may not be making a wholesale change, but just those little things will help you chip away at the bad habits and help you to start incorporating new good habits. Of course, drink more water, and I'm going to ask Coach T to tell us again about that app in a moment, but drink more water and swap out fake food for real food. So the potato chips and things like that, I certainly can admit that that's my weakness, but maybe eating some chopped fruit or things like that to give you that filler that you need to hold you over until your next real meal. And then get your beauty sleep. People certainly underestimate the importance of sleep and just how effective they can be during their day. So now, Coach T, very quickly, do you want to share anything coming up with your business that you want our listeners to know about in about 2 minutes?
Absolutely. So I have a few things coming up, but one thing I want to talk about is the challenge I have going on. It starts on Monday, October 15th. It's called the Drip Challenge. We are driven, relentless, invincible people. And it is a 30-day challenge from October 15th to November 12th. It costs $7.99 for 30 days of coaching and motivation with a suggested meal plan and exercise guide and a private accountability group. And they can go to CoachTaryn.com to register. Last day for registration is today. Hmm. And the second thing is that it is called Drink Daily.
Okay. Okay. All right. And so, Chef Cynthia, anything that you would like to let our listeners know about or anything you want to direct them to on your website?
Oh, sure. Well, not necessarily my website, but I want everybody to know that October is cancer awareness. So I want everybody to make sure that they go out, get their mammogram done. Mm-hmm. If it's your year to do that, and please do make sure you get that. And if it's not your year, make sure that you ask your friends. And if it's their year, take them. Go with them. And also, November is Heart Healthy Month, where American Heart Association as well as other organizations are doing these walks all over the country. So get a team together, sign up, and walk and be healthy.
Okay, and I want to tell listeners that you can get a mammogram at Michigan Park Christian Church in Washington, D.C. The George Washington University Mammovan will be there on October 27th. That is a Saturday. And you can register at Michigan Park Christian Church. You can visit their website, and I encourage you to do that. You need to have insurance, but come on over there and check that out. Thank you for listening, and I'll talk to you soon.